Yeah.
They get me hot under
Tony,
the fucking
towel. Tony Hovater, it's funny because we are good friends with the guy who really ended, like, finally ended the give the Nazi an interview type of journalism.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Boy, did they really regret doing that. That was great.
Single-handedly. I have to say, it makes me very, very proud to be associated with Tony because that was not by accident. You know,
it also they knew what they were doing. That also ended that journalist's career.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That and guy has not worked, and the reason is because he wasn't a Jew, and he actually got to like Tony.
Well, and it just Tony gave him nothing bad to work with. I mean, that's what it was. It's that he and I remember they went back and wrote about it again.
Apologize for it.
Yeah, I Googled news. I think Tony and I didn't really know him, but I didn't know him well. Certainly, I think we shook hands at an event, but I knew him. I was friends with him on Facebook at the time, and when the article dropped, and then there was the next article, and I remember running some Google news searches, and there were like 3 or 4 dozen articles about this New York Times article.
Oh, they were being published.
There were so many articles and all this hand wringing and sort of like moral, like
they were questioning, so fucking
like
mad.
How do we do this? How do we do this?
Preening.
It's humanizing. No, not preening. It was like, there's a word I'm looking for that I escaped.
It's like hand wringing.
Hand wringing. It's sort of like where you're distraught over like a moral dilemma, like an ethical dilemma, kind of thing. They were just so, you know, debating the pros and cons of, and all of them were trying to like outdo each other in virtue signaling against the New York Times and saying, well, this is why it was irresponsible for the New York Times to air this guy's views, and this is why it was irresponsible. Meanwhile, you know, Tony's life, I mean, was affected by that. I mean, there was a lot of bad consequences that came his way as a result of the attention.
Well, the other thing was, though, it wasn't so much even they aired his views. Is I think
they humanized him.
They made him seem like a normal guy. And what the point of it was, I think, was an attempt at a kind of a scare piece, like it was basically they're doing like it was like the Nazi next door,
next door neighbor.
And the idea of that wasn't like the idea of it wasn't like. The Nazi, look, this guy is a great guy and a normal neighbor. The idea was like anybody could be lurking next door. You know, like you don't know anything. And your next door neighbor could be a Nazi and you wouldn't know. Like it was sort of a scare hysteria piece. But what it ended up being was like the Nazi next door. He goes to the store and he goes to work and he's got a wife and he's a friendly neighborhood guy. And they were like, what the fuck did you – how did you fuck this up? Like they were so, so mad.
Well, I mean,
that reporter is gone. That guy has been erased.
Yeah.
Like James Caan at the end of Eraser. Like, that's what the Jews did to that guy.
There's so many articles. I just searched it. And, you know, the big one was A Voice of Hate in America's Heartland. That's the famous one. And then there was another one a week later. Readers accuse us of normalizing a Nazi sympathizer. We respond. There's this picture. Mike, oh my God, play this on the put this on the screen. There's this picture, and it's just Tony's eyebrows in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
This is fucking great. This picture is fucking great. Oh my God.
Yeah, this is hilarous.
We do know what happened. We know what happened to that journalist. He ended up. He decided to work for NJP Exposed. That's what he does now.
Oh yeah,
right, right.
Yeah.
That's
really freaking funny.